So what did you know about West Virginia, if anything?
Nothing. I didn't know that there was a West Virginia at that time.
Like most people.
And most of my friends didn't. Because for years they thought I was in Virginia somewhere.
Yeah, of course.
The western part of Virginia. Okay, I can deal with that. But, you know, so when I came here, well, West Virginia was, Charleston area.
This was what year?
1960.
1960.
1960.
Okay, this was before Civil Rights Act. This is before Voting Rights Act. Before the world was somewhat different in a lot of places. And I'm sure, you know, the experience here was a little different than New York City.
Exactly. Exactly.
Tell me about that. When you got here, how'd you come?
I came on the bus.
Okay.
I usually travel by train, but they were on strike. So I took a Greyhound.
All right. So you took the Greyhound, which takes you right downtown,
Charleston. Downtown.
Okay. You get off the bus, and what happens next?
I got off the bus, and, I was hungry. So I looked across the street, and there was a little place called the Chuck Wagon. And I went over there, and I said, just like a hamburger and a Coke. And they said, okay. The woman said, yeah, you can have a hamburger and a Coke, but you can't eat it in here. You have to take it outside. And that was my first experience.
Okay. Welcome to Charleston.
Yeah, that was my first experience. But in all fairness, I was told that that was the last place in downtown Charleston that had that kind of policy. So, and that's the place that I went.
And then you had to head out to State College. What'd you do? How'd you get out there?
They have a cab.
A cab took you out there. Okay.
I figured, okay, it's right around the corner.
Yeah, not quite.
But it was quite an experience. In fact, it was during a time at the college, which was interesting because I experienced integration in reverse because West Virginia State was a historical black college.
Right.
And they had just started integrating. White students had just started coming.
Really? Yeah. In 1960? It was. And even in more modern times, it was more black than white, but now I don't know what it is. But in any case, I knew the legacy was there. So you were there when the first whites were being...
Yes, exactly.
This was a different day, around the early 60s, when there was a place in Charleston, the district they called the Triangle District, which was mostly black and which had clubs and so forth. So how did you work your way into that?
That's right. It was a very vibrant, you know, community, you know, both... musically and, you know, businesses and things were thriving there in the Triangle District. Professor Thompson, one night he took me to a place called the Crazy Horse, which was on the west side of Charleston. And it was an after-hours place. At that time, liquor by the drink was illegal in West Virginia. So these were all, you know.
Clubs, quote-unquote.
Yeah. This was like, there was a gate. It was actually a big house. And there was a gate, and you went up and you rang the buzzer, and somebody looked out of a window upstairs, and then they buzzed you in, and the club was on the second floor. But there were jam sessions there that went on into all night.
Sometimes. Local musicians?
Local musicians, and people that came through town would always stop in. And so there was a constant flow of great players. And a lot of guys who were my age who went on to become great players came up through that scene. And as always, music brought all kinds of people together, you know, young, old, black, white. And that was what was great about it. Plus the willingness of everybody there to help you. If, there was a piano player. And if I thought I knew a song, I'd say, well, can I sit in? And then he'd stand behind me and call out the chord changes to me, and then when he felt like I had it, he'd say, okay, kid, you got it, and he'd go sit down.
So what's the biggest change from that time to this time in music in Charleston? What would you say it is, that Triangle District is gone, or what?
Right, that had a big impact, you know, when it became legal, and that forced all of those kinds of clubs out of the business because you had it were big license fees and things like that you had to have. So, but a lot of us just moved into the other scene, you know, played in the other clubs.
Played legit.
Yeah. And so it was always, always fun. And the thing about it is that the musicians, you know, both black and white, all played together. You know, there was you know, I know in other cities they had separate musicians' unions, but not in Charleston. The musicians were always together, you know, and I thought that was, I took it for granted until I saw what was happening in other places.
Well, at what point, here you are, still from Jamaica, Queens, you're a kid, you're in college, what point did you say, I think I'll be here, I'll stay here? Or did it ever, did it just happen and you didn't notice and then you were here?
Yeah, it kind of happened. I was going back to New York during the summers, and then I was coming back, you know, for a while, and then I started staying here, you know, and then, well, then I met a West Virginia girl.
Okay, I mean, I knew that would come into the picture at some point. It usually does. And so so you decided just to, and she didn't want to go somewhere else?
Right, at
first. Did you want to go back to New York and leave, or did you,
no,
were you happy here?
I was kind of torn in between, you know, because by now I liked it here. I liked living here. I liked the style of life. I'd gotten used to it, you know, and a lot of things were different, you know.
Yeah. What did you like about it the most, I mean, that made you, kind of tipped you over the scale?
Well, people.
Yeah.
People. The friendliness of people, the openness of people. You know, when I first came here, I would walk down Capitol Street and somebody would pass me and say, "Hi." And I was like, "Okay, what kind of game is this? We didn't have this in New York. What's hi? What's that
what's
about?
What's going on?"
You know? And but people, you know, I had several experiences, you know, that like that, that showed me where people were, you know. I remember once, and I may have told you this before, I was playing up at a ski resort, and I had a problem with my vehicle, and it was ended up being a broken tie rod. I drove into Elkins, and I drove into this garage. His name,
which is right in the heart of West Virginia mountains, and
that's right.
It's a small town.
Yeah, and went into Red Stalnicker's garage, and he told me what the problem was. And at that time, I just had a. It was so long ago. It was Bank AmeriCard. It was.
Right.
I had this credit card, and he said, "I'm sorry, I'm not set up to accept that now." You know. So, and I didn't have a checkbook or anything, so I started out the door, and he came out and got me. He said, "Hey, but I'll fix your truck, you know," and he pulled it on back in there. He fixed it and said, "Whenever you get where you're going, send me a check." Now, he didn't ask my name, where I was from, where I was going, nothing. Just whenever you get where you're going, send me a check.